Welcome to The Apple Seed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts for you that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne. And on today's episode of The Appleseed, you'll hear a tale you've probably heard dozens of times. It's the story of Cinderella, a story that has thousands of versions from all over the world. If you live in the English-speaking world, the version you may have been introduced to first, whether in a cartoon or a storybook or even just in the mouth of whoever told you stories when you were a kid, was probably the version that came from Italy to France in the 17th century. That version got popular because it was published during a time when fairy tales were fashionable among aristocrats in Paris, literary salons. People sharing fairy tales were like jazz musicians in the 30s or beat poets in the 60s or, indie bands today. I don't know what they're doing in Paris literary salons these days. There are a lot of reasons to keep listening for meaning in stories by hearing them over and over again. First of all, because you change over time. The things that come from a story and into your heart can change too. That's why people read the Bible over and over again, or the Quran, or even something like the Odyssey or the Iliad. Great stories never stop giving us new things to think about. It's that way with Cinderella, too. And of course, there are as many ways to tell the story as there are storytellers. The storyteller here is Angela Lloyd, who lives in California and who brought not only a great story into the Appleseed studio, but also an auto harp and a song to set it off. That and more surprises in this version of the story of Cinderella. Here's Angela Lloyd.
I'm going away to leave you, love. I'm going away for a while. But I'll return to you someday if I go 10,000 miles. The storms are on the ocean. The heavens will cease to be. This world will lose its motion, love, if I prove false to thee. Well, who will shoe your pretty little foot? And who will glove your hand? And who will be your own true love while I'm in a foreign land? The storms are on the ocean. The heavens will cease to be. This world will lose its motion, love, if I prove false to thee. Long ago, there was a merchant, a man who sailed on the seas. And he married a woman who was a musician. And the neighbors, they remembered the day they moved the piano. They saw it lying on its side, being pulled on a cart with horses, and watched that wooden shape rock like a boat all the way down the road. And the merchant and his wife settled down into a life on the land for a time being. And in time, she gave birth to a young girl. And after several years, he went back to sea for these irregular times and then home for a bit. Well, who will shoe your pretty little foot? And who will glove your hand? Well, the mama and the young girl, they grew so close in their work and play. And the mama had songs for everything. Whether the weather is cold, whether the weather is hot, we'll be together whatever the weather, whether we like it or not. The mama and this young girl, they just loved each other. One day the mama was chopping onions and cutting them slender, and she said, when you cut the onions, they're for soup, so not too skinny, not too wide. Her mother placed the young girl between her body and the basin where they did the dishes, and the girl was on a stool, and she just patted the water with her hands. Years later, when she was grown up, she would tell her friends, I never minded doing the dishes. I think it's because my mother allowed me to play in the water. They had such a lovely life, and her husband coming home every now and then. And one night they were looking up the stars, and her mother began to sing, by and by, stars, number, number, number one, number two, number three, good Lord, by and by, good Lord, by and by. And when the girl was 12, one night, the mother and the papa stepped in to say goodnight, and then everybody tucked in and went to sleep. And deep in the night, the mother took her last breath. And her daughter, she went to wake her up. She said, Mama, Mama, let's go, Mama. And she couldn't wake her. And she ran to get her father, Papa, Papa, come. She said, is she going to sleep 100 years? They couldn't wake her. And their mama had slipped right out of this world on a breath. They were lost. And the house so quiet until the girl started to bring up those songs again and found that when she was doing her work, she was right there with her mother. It took a couple years before the father one day woke up and he took a long bath and then he put on a crisp shirt, polished his shoes, and he went into town thinking, I need to find a new mother for my daughter. She is young and I am missing a companion. And it wasn't long before he met a widow with two older daughters. And he thought, oh, she'll have sisters. How lovely. And they married. And the first time Nancy, our heroine, saw those girls come, it was first in the very wealthy carriage that came down that dusty road. And then she just saw their hats from the window looking down. And the girls, they pulled this enormous trunk out of the carriage and then banged it up the stairs, boom, 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 boom. And they got upstairs and Nancy said, hello. And they just walked right past her, right into her bedroom and said, this will be our room. This will be good for two people. And Nancy said, But this is my room. And they said, you could go upstairs. You could go upstairs. And she was thinking, how do they know we have an upstairs? They just got here. She went in and she got some of her things out of the drawers and blankets and her pillow and book or two. And then she went up the stairs and pushed open that attic door and thought, ooh, it's a good thing I know how to clean. It was very dusty up there. And she made her new place there. And they all settled down. And it was not long before the new mother recognized that this young woman of the house knew how to work and clean and make and sew and mend, and she was completely self-supporting. She did not need any help to do anything. And then she started looking at her own daughters and started noticing how very unkind they were to this sister, their new sister. And she thought she never had noticed her daughters being so unkind. One day, Nancy was putting away the ashes in the fireplace, and she looked up the chimney and she saw the stars out, and she started singing, "By and by, by and by, stars shining, number, number one, number two, number three." And the girls came out of their bedroom and sat at the top of the stairs just so they could listen. And they pulled their nighties over their knees and they just rested. And that's when the one said to the other, "I call her Cinderbottom. What do you call her?" "Cinderbottom. She's always sitting in those ashes at night." And the younger girl, she really loved that sister, but she couldn't show it to her older sister. So she said, "I'm going to call her Cinderella." Well, one day there came to the door a loud knock, and Cinderella answered the door, and there was a messenger from the prince who was having a ball, and he had an invitation, and he said, "This is for the ladies of the house." And there were two names on the envelope, and she started to say, "But there's three of us." And then she looked down at her work boots that were muddy and her clothes, and she said, "I will give them to the ladies of the house." And he said, "Thank you very much." And she took the letter upstairs and showed it to her sisters. And oh, there was such big excitement. And in those days, you couldn't just go down and get a dress somewhere. You had to work with what you had. And so for the next weeks, they were undoing and taking out seams and adding lace and ribbon. And they fashioned these beautiful dresses that Nancy helped them tidy up. On the day of the ball, the young girls and their mother, they set off in a carriage pulled by horses. And Nancy went outside the house and into the garden, and she just started to weep. "I miss my mama, mama." And then suddenly came Marie, her godmother. Marie stepped out of the shadows and said, "Nancy, do you want to go to the ball?" And Nancy said, "Of course I want to go." And her godmother said, "And what color dress would you like?" And Nancy said, "I would like it sky blue, please." And Marie touched her shoulder, and zingo zango, she was in a ball gown. And then she said, "How would you like your hair?" And she said, "Up." And she said, and "Marie, can you change my shoes?" And Marie said, "Oh, no, no, you just take those off. I've got something for you." And she reached into a bag around her shoulder and she pulled out glass slippers. And she said, "These will go with everything." She said, "Thank you so much." She said, "How will I get there?" Marie said, "Well, do you have a pumpkin?" She said, "What, we're going to cook now?" She said, "No, no, no, just a pumpkin." And she said, "I've got one growing in the yard." She brought it back. Marie touched it. And here was the most beautiful carriage. And Marie said, "Do you have any mice? We're going to need some horses." Nancy said, "I have friendly traps. I'll be right back." And she went in the kitchen and came back and brought these four little mice. And Marie touched them with her fingers. And zingo zango, there were four horses. She made her way to the palace. The butler was there. He called the prince, and the prince came, and he stood on the stairs and watched this young, elegant woman simply get out of a carriage. And he extended his arm. He took her inside, and they were waltzing. There was music, so filled Nancy's heart. Later, when they were out on the veranda, she was remembering Marie's instruction that she had to be home before midnight because things were going to change. And when the clock started to strike, she asked for a lemonade from the prince, and he quickly turned to go, and she immediately pulled up her skirts and started down the stairs, ran right out of one of those glass slippers and kept going. And when the prince came back with lemonade, she wasn't anywhere. And he looked and he saw the shoe on the stairs. And he went out to the guard's gate and he asked them, he said, "Have you seen a young woman leaving the party?" And they said, no, but it looked like a kitchen maid was leaving because a woman was leaving with a large pumpkin in her arms. He went back to the party and she made her way home and she got in bed. Her sisters arrived and they came in and she said, "How was it? Did you dance with the prince?" They said, "We did. He danced with everyone, but not after that other lady arrived in the blue dress. But we had a very nice time and Mama did too." And they all tucked in. And the next morning, it wasn't long before someone knocked on the door and Cinderella was out in the garden. And she noticed a man bringing horses round to get water. And he said, "You're a lady of the house?" She said, "I am." And he said, "Well, you best go in. Everybody has to try on the shoe." She said, "The shoe?" "Yes, everyone has to try on the shoe." So she went in and her sister saw her and they were trying on the shoe. It didn't fit at all. And she said, "I'll try it on." And they said, "You can't try it on. You weren't even there." And she goes, "It's a game. Everyone's trying it on." And she put her foot in and it fit. It fit. And then she hobbled over to the fireplace and pulled the other glass slipper out from the logs and she put them on. And just then Marie showed up and Marie said, "And what would you like to wear to the prince's house?" And she said, "I would like a traveling suit, please. Pastel colors, and I'll keep the shoes." She said, "Of course, the shoes go with everything." And so she made her way to the palace and she did marry the prince. And I want you to know, she kept an eye for a couple of dukes that worked at the palace for her sisters, because she knew that all they needed was someone they could learn to love and care for. And from that place, there is an old sentence that goes like this. Beauty is a gift. Kindness is a choice. And may we all live and thrive and love as long as we know that.
A version of the Cinderella story told by Angela Lloyd. She calls her version Cinderella's Choice. And I was so taken by Angela's use of music and rhythm, her inclusion in the story of snatches of old poems about the weather, stuff like that. And I asked her about the music and stories and poems she loves to share. And here's what she said.
One of the things is that songs and poems and stories are wonderful companions. They come with me. And I have a chance to see the world with them. We meet the world with that material, I think. It allows us to rest a little bit when we're making this work, doing this work. And also, it gives us a chance to look again, to really like look again, sort of have a little fresh moment in that time that we're together. I find stories very steady, good companions.
Listening to Angela, I thought about the good company that stories and songs and poems have been in my life. And thinking about that filled me with memories. You know, my mom passed away this year after a long, long wrestle with very deep and debilitating dementia. And I haven't said much about it here on the show, but I don't mind telling you a little bit about it today. In the last couple of years of my mom's life, my siblings and I would gather with my mom every Sunday on a Zoom call. I have a brother in L.A. and another brother in Tennessee and a sister in England. And I got a brother right near where I live, too. So he and I were usually in the actual room with our mom. the others joining in from wherever they were in the world. And at first in those visits, we only knew we wanted to be together. We didn't really know what to say. But we fell back on the songs and stories that we knew as kids. We sang those songs and told those stories together. We sang The Rainbow Connection, you know, the song Kermit the Frog sings, a song we'd all loved as kids, and memories of other people who loved that song cracked right open and flowed through our conversation. We talked about our friends, the Garbettes, who had lost a son in a terrible car accident, and about how that song had served as a comfort to them, as if their son was now a sort of connection to the world of heaven. A rainbow connection, you know? And we talked about singing that song in Kathy Larson's neighborhood children's choir when we were in elementary school together. And we sang The Streets of Laredo, the old cowboy ballad, and suddenly we were talking about Mr. Diamond, the fourth grade teacher at our elementary school, teaching us to play that song on the ukulele. Can you imagine that? 50 fourth graders all playing The Streets of Laredo on the ukulele? It was a fun memory for us. And as is the way with stories and songs, one gives rise to two or three more. And each of those gives rise to two or three more, just like a growing tree. Those stories and songs were indeed good companions, bringing us all kinds of comfort and laughter, filling us up with words when words might have been hard to find. It made a difficult time a lot less difficult. And that's where Angela's story took me. Where did her story take you? And who will you take along? There's a lot coming up, but I wanted to take just a moment to let you know about another show from among the BYU Radio family of podcasts. The podcast is called Constant Wonder, and it's hosted by Marcus Smith. In each episode, Marcus takes you on kind of a quest to find the awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild. Not just interested in the natural world, interested in human nature as well. Marcus's guests tell fascinating stories and talk about experiences that have left them awestruck. You'll love the podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, all kinds of places to listen to Constant Wonder anytime you need a little dose of awe or wonder in your life. Constant Wonder from BYU Radio. It's such a pleasure to be with you today on The Appleseed. Angela Lloyd's version of the Cinderella story filled me with memories of telling stories and singing songs at my mom's bedside. And thinking more about that, some of those bedside stories, I gotta say, were mealtime stories. Stories of fighting over how many slices of pepperoni were on my brother's slice of pizza in comparison to mine. Or of arguments over who got to eat off the plate with the picture of a locomotive on it. Those stories are good companions now, even though the experiences seemed pretty traumatic when they were happening. Everyone's got stories like that, don't they? Mealtime tales, including the great storyteller and songwriter Bill Harley, who tells this musical tale about a dinnertime dilemma I bet you've experienced. Here's Bill with There's a Pea on My Plate on The Appleseed.
Thank you so much. There's a pea on my plate that my mother put there. She knows I don't like peas, but she doesn't care. She says, come on, try it now. It's not the worst. If you want some ice cream, you must eat that pea first. And I really did put the pea on my spoon, but I made a mistake. My mouth closed too soon. It slipped off the spoon and fell onto the floor. Oops. My mom said, don't worry, she's got plenty more. There's a pea on my plate my mother put there. Peas make me vomit. But she doesn't care. They're wrinkled and mushy and slimy and green. I wonder what happened that made her so mean. There's really no telling how much this will hurt, but I have to eat it because I want dessert. It shouldn't have happened. It's true, I suppose. Somehow by mistake, it got stuck on my nose. There's a pea on my plate my mother put there. She knows I'm not hungry. She doesn't care. I tell her if she makes me eat it, I'll die. She says that she's sorry to hear that. Bye-bye. The pea rolls on my plate, forward and back. It rolls round and round like a train on a track. Faster and faster and huffs and puffs. It rolls up the track. Whoa, my mom says, that is enough. There's a pea on my plate that my mother put there. It's cold and it's clammy, but she doesn't care. It's hard to believe that just one stupid pea is all that is keeping some ice cream from me. So we sit at the table, just me and my mom. My sister, my brother, my father, they're gone. I hear the clock ticking now, it's getting late for me and my mom and that pea on my plate. There's a pea on my plate that my mother put there. She says that she really thinks she's being fair. Just one little bite and this whole thing will stop. And I can have ice cream with sprinkles on top. She knows that she's got me, she'll win, there's no doubt. She knows ice cream's something I can't live without. She knows this is one fight that she cannot lose. I say, skip the ice cream, may I be excused? There you go.
There's a Pea on My Plate by Bill Harley, recorded live in the Appleseed Studio. Been there? I know I have. What a kick. The stories and songs we love are, as Angela Lloyd said earlier in the episode, good companions. And like the story of Cinderella, they're worth sharing again and again as they never get finished teaching us things, giving us stuff to think about. They're like the contents of a bag worn over the shoulder of a traveler on a long journey. A bag filled with things the traveler has remembered to pack. Things the traveler can take out of the bag way down the road for sustenance and comfort. Thanks to Angela Lloyd and Bill Harley for sharing some of the stories and songs in their bag. What are some of the stories and songs and poems that are in yours? Maybe it's time to take some of them out and share them again with the people you love. The Appleseed is produced by me, Sam Payne, Wendy Folsom, and Brian Tanner. Our audio engineers are Ashton Parkinson and DJ Cromarty. The rest of the Appleseed team, Kira Van Dam, Kelly Wehrmeister, Tristan Schetzel, Kay Hendricks, and Nico Wetzel. Hey, if you like today's podcast, subscribe, rate us, leave us a review, and tell your friends. That's how the podcast grows. We also love to receive emails. Email us at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at byu.edu. Your thoughts and comments help us shape the future of the Appleseed. We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family of shows. If you want more great storytelling for the whole family, then search for our companion podcast, Kaboom, where you'll hear original audio adventures for the whole family. You can find any episode of The Appleseed or Kaboom on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, on the BYU Radio app, or at byuradio.org. I'm Sam Payne, and we can't wait to be with you again on The Appleseed.